The song said when it began, it's more than a story. It's more than a song. I believe that. I still believe in a salvation that works. I still believe in a Jesus who's the same today as he ever was. I still believe in an experience of sanctification that works in our everyday lives. I still believe in those things. I still believe that the Lord is interested in revealing himself to those that don't yet know him, and believe the Lord would have every one of us to know him a little better. I'd like to begin in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." The burden that I have for us tonight is concerning an expression that's very familiar to all of us, one that we probably use often, living for the Lord. What does it mean to live for the Lord? The scripture here says that the love of Christ constrains us. It is to be the motivating force of our lives. It is to be the thing that propels us forward, and the thing that makes us do the things that we do is the love of Christ. It says that we should not henceforth live anymore unto ourselves, but for the Lord. You know, many people today are living for themselves. Many people are living unto themselves. The scripture talks about natural brute beasts, speaking of mankind that has not given themselves to the Lord, that they just live really not that much differently than just the wild animals of the field, just living to fulfill their every desire and living according to that. You know, there's a higher purpose than that for mankind. I'm so thankful that the Lord came to raise us above that to a higher plane that he's called us unto. We're not to live unto ourselves. The scripture says of in another place, whose God is their belly. In other words, they live for nothing more than just the temporal needs of this life. They live for nothing beyond just the things that I want and that satisfies me and just providing for themselves. But there's something higher than that. There's a higher calling for every one of us, and that is to live for the Lord. To live for him that died for us. But it's about so much more than just a phrase, than just a slogan that we say, well, I'm living for the Lord. It means something. It carries something with it. And I want us to examine not just the profession tonight, not just the words that I might say, but in actuality in my life, who have I been living for? The 100th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God." You know, that's an important step for us, any one of us, to be able to worship the Lord as we ought. To be able to serve the Lord is to realize who we are and who the Lord is. And the only way we properly see who we are is to see God in the light of who he really is. Know this. Know as we approach unto the Lord, he is the Lord. He is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So many people today are living as if they're the ones that have made themselves. They're living unto themselves. They're living no further than that. And Paul said in one place, if there be no resurrection of the dead, and if I may add, if there be no God that we're going to stand before, if there is nothing beyond this life and the temporal fulfillment and satisfaction that this life brings, then he said, we might as well say, rise, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's all there is to it. I remember working with a lady whose mother was dying, and she came in and told me one day, asking how her mother was, and she said, well, Mom rallied. She gained a little bit of strength and was able to get up out of her bed, and she wanted to go out on the porch and have one more smoke before she went out. People are living as if there's nothing beyond this, as if there's nothing more to this life than what I can feel and what I can experience right here and now. But there's one that's made us. Oh, how our world is trying to erase that from the minds of the people. There is one that has made us. And we don't belong unto ourselves. There's one that we're going to answer unto and give an account unto. And we are to be the sheep of His pasture. You remember the time that the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And He had a place that He was taking them to. The promised land, the Canaan land. And the Lord told them in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. He said, whenever I bring you into a land that you're own, and I give you houses that you didn't build, and I give you vineyards that you didn't plant, and wells that you didn't dig, and all this abundance that I've given you, then take heed. There's a caution to be had here, lest you forget the Lord your God. There is a danger in the midst of abundance of forgetting our dependence upon God, of losing sight of the fact that there's something more than these things right around me. There is a God that has made me, and don't forget that, He was saying. Take heed lest you forget in the midst of your abundance. Well, I believe that we live in an abundant time. Believe that we live in a time where we have provided for us, it seems like, just about anything we could need and want. Take heed, lest we forget the Lord our God. We are to live for Him and Him alone. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The 19th verse says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong unto the Lord. We've been bought with a great price, that He's redeemed us and called unto Himself a people to be separated from among the world, that are to live for Him, that are to henceforth not live for themselves anymore, but to live unto the Lord. To live that my life's purpose is to please the Lord. My life's aim is, amidst all the things that I have to do in life, there's one thing that I have desired, David said, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to inquire to see His beauty. Oh, Lord, help us to have a desire. Lord, I want to see more of Your beauty. I want to know You in a greater way. I want to live for the Lord. For it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it. Jesus said to those who were following after Him, He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I've given you? You don't do the things that I've said unto you. There are many people who are willing to accept the idea of deliverance, but by and by they fall away. Because there's something required of me. Living for the Lord is about more than just receiving something. But it's about giving myself unto the Lord. It's about giving unto the Lord and about denying myself. And Jesus said of taking up the cross and following after Him. There is a denying and a giving of myself that I'm going to have to do to live for the Lord. But it's that love that is to constrain and is to compel us. There's a song that says, I ought to love my Savior. And in the song it says, what was it? A love that cost so dearly, the offering of His soul. It said, what heart could e'er withhold that kind of love that the Lord has offered, that the Lord has showed unto us as we are redeemed with a price. There's something that the Lord wants for us to give to Him, and that's ourselves. That is our lives. Believe that there is a real lack today. I can say in the world, I can say in the church world, but I fear a lack among us of selling ourselves out to the Lord. Lord, I'm living for You. I'm living unto You. Lord, Your purposes are mine. Your desires are mine. I believe that's what the Lord is desiring from us. Well, think about those children of Israel. It wasn't that long before the Lord gave that warning that He had instituted the, given the law, the covenant, and by it the institution of the offerings and the sacrifices that were made. You know, in part that was to remind them of the One that they served and their dependence upon Him. It was the atonement for their sins. It was the means of their salvation. But there was in it also, there were offerings of thanksgiving, of rejoicing, to remember the One who gives us the blessings and the benefits that we receive, that they not forget the Lord their God. You know, the Lord is looking for sacrifices from us as well. I'd like to look in the book of Malachi now. Malachi, the third chapter, and the sixth verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And you see this kind of format of conversation throughout the book of Malachi, that there is an accusation that is made, and their response is, Lord, where? Lord, why? Lord, how? I don't see that. And there is a proving of the point. The Lord is the One who is a faithful and true witness. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And if the Lord, and I've done it before, the Lord come along and show me something about myself, and I say, Lord, not me. Lord, that's not what that is until I realize that's me. The Lord is a faithful and true witness. And He in His mercy came along to a people who had forgotten Him, to a people who still maintained a form of living for the Lord. We read about in the first chapter of this book, it said, ye offer the blind for sacrifice, the lame and the sick. It says, will the Lord accept that? What they were doing now, they were still bringing a sacrifice unto the Lord, but they were bringing the leftovers. Yes. They were still endeavoring, you might say, to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, but they weren't doing it with their heart. And it says here in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, isn't that quite a thought? Robbing the Lord. Is it possible to do that? You know, we can live our lives in a way that robs the Lord. And as they said here, well, Lord, how? Now, in what way have we robbed from You? And the Lord very directly told them, in tithes and offerings. You're not bringing a perfect sacrifice before me. You're not bringing the best before me. You're going through the motions and through the form. But what you're bringing to me isn't acceptable. And he said in the first chapter of Malachi, take it to your governor. See if your governor is going to accept something like that from you. You go and you take the one that's about to die and is diseased and you got to kill it anyway and say, well, I didn't have any use for it. You want this? He said, will he accept that? Then why are you bringing that to me? We can rob the Lord in our lives. Well, the Lord is the one who made us. He's the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And we'll come back hopefully here to Malachi. But the 50th chapter of Psalms comes to mind where the psalmist said here in the 12th. Well, let's begin in the 9th verse. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Lord Most High. The Lord is worthy of our lives. The Lord is worthy of the offering of ourselves, where we don't come now with bulls and goats. Thank the Lord, the perfect Lamb of God was slain once for all to be the propitiation for our sins. But we bring ourselves, the Scripture says, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I want to live for the Lord. I want that to be my life's ambition. People have all kinds of ambitions and plans and dreams in life. But there is no higher place to reach. There is no greater pinnacle to attain to than to please the Lord. Than to live for the Lord. And folks, every one of us can do it. Every one of us can bring an offering that's pleasing unto the Lord. Cain didn't. Abel did. But the Lord told him in Cain, if you do well, it'll be accepted of your hand as well. But bring a perfect sacrifice unto me. The Lord here is saying, it's not because I need it. It's not because I have a lack. But there's something about the Lord's relationship with us that He wants us to come and bring of the little bit that we have. That's how we serve the Lord. The Lord didn't just put us here in the world and not give us a will. Put Adam and Eve in the garden and no tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was a choice so that there would be a service out of love. And out of a desire to choose to live for the Lord. To choose to follow in His ways. And that's what the Lord wants from us. That we choose to give to the Lord. In the New Testament dispensation, we don't teach tithing. Why? Because we're to give our all. And we, folks, we can hear these things and know these things in our mind. We can understand them philosophically or theologically or doctrinally. That I know these things. But when it comes down to my life, as I'm doing this examination, Lord, who have I been living for? Who have I been living to satisfy? Has it been my own wants and needs and desires? Or am I truly putting the Lord first in everything of my life? What they were in essence doing here in Malachi, they were bringing the Lord the leftovers. And you know, we can do the same thing with the Lord. And so rob God. The Lord said unto the children of Israel that they were not to put any God before them. For the Lord your God is a jealous God. You know the Lord has a right to be? Yes. Because He gave Himself for us. Hasn't He a right to expect us in return? To expect that we give ourselves to Him in return? Think about the parable found in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter of the talents. The master gave unto his servants talents. To one was it 5 or 10, and to another 5, and to another 1 or something like that. And he came back expecting what he had given. He came back expecting the thing that had been given to them. But not only that, that they've done something with it. Folks, do we have anything that's not given to us? Do we have anything that's truly our own? You see, we can adopt this mindset that it's mine. This is my life. These are my plans. This is my time. This is my day. You know, there's something more. There's something more fulfilling than that. You notice here of tithes and offerings. Many churches in the world would be glad to quote these scriptures to say, dig a little deeper in your pocket. There's so much more than that, folks. That's a part of what the Lord wants us to give of ourselves freely. But there's so much more than that. We're to live for the Lord. We're to be the Lord's and not our own. We're to offer ourselves unto the Lord willingly, freely, from my heart. That I not bring the Lord the leftovers. That I not bring the Lord the things that I really didn't want anyway. And whenever the day is left, if I have any time left over, Lord, I'll give you this little bit of time. We only have so much time, money, energy, love. How do we allocate it? You know, it can be hard, and I know because the enemy fights me, it can be hard to give the Lord a little time. Who gave us time? You know, the Lord's not expecting anything that He didn't first give us. The Lord came along and He said to the one that had one talent, He didn't come expecting the 10 talents He had given another, but He came and wanted to know, what'd you do with what I gave you? And He went and He buried it in the earth. So many people are burying what the Lord has given them. So many people are covering it over with the cares of life and with the pursuit of things that please and satisfy and fulfill me in life. And the Lord is going to return with an expectation that I've given back to Him the things that He's given unto me. I'd like to look now at an account that's always been a challenge to me in 1 Chronicles, found in the 29th chapter. We read here with the preparation of the temple. There was a need for materials and supplies for the temple. Well, whose house was this? It was the Lord's, wasn't it? It was dedicated to the Lord. Well, the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We already read the scripture. It says all the world is His and the fullness of it. He owns the gold that's in His earth. He owns all of the materials that were needed for His temple. And yet He waited for the people. Because the people needed to give of themselves. And so we read throughout this, we won't read it all, but we read about those that heard there was a need. And they weren't just taxed. Didn't just come along and the treasurers or the appointed people come along and let me search through your stuff and I'm going to confiscate it. That's not the way the service of the Lord is. But the scripture says, they offered willingly. Everyone whose heart stirred him up within. I want to be part of this. I want to give myself unto this. Well, I want to read a few phrases through this. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of God. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. says the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. You know, the greatest fulfillment and satisfaction in life does not come in living for ourselves. It does not come in the pursuit of, there are people, you can find videos of unboxings of some new electronic or new, the latest phone or the latest gadget, and people find so much of a thrill from unboxing that there's a lot of money that goes into marketing just in the packaging of material, because it's such an experience for people to be able to open it up and there's my nice new device. Folks, people live for the shallowest of things. I'm going to tell you, there's something else that we can open up that'll give us a greater thrill than anything that the world has to offer. Open the Word of God up and begin digging into what the Lord has for us and see what it does for us. Give ourselves unto the Lord to live for the Lord in more than just word and testimony, but in actuality, indeed, in the decisions that I make. Lord, I'm putting You first. I'm putting Your cause first. I'm putting Your work first. I'm putting the needs of my soul first. It's got to be a place of the heart, folks. The pastor can't come and extract it out of us. It's got to be something from the heart. Don't make the pastor have to wonder if you're going to be here. I don't know who's here and who's not, so bear with me. We may say there's not much I can give. There's not much that I can do. You know, the Lord doesn't expect more than what we can do or what we can give. The Lord expects that we give back willingly of ourselves what the Lord has given us. We can pray. We can be faithful. We can be consistent. And being in service when the doors are open and helping to carry the load and bear the burden and the weight of the work of the Lord and put that first in my life and show to my children and to those around me, this is what's most important to me. This is why I'm living. This is what I'm living for. People sometimes at work will ask when you're taking off, well, where are you going? And I don't have anything wrong with taking vacations. We enjoy doing that. But so often, well, we're going to a meeting. We're going to a meeting over here. We're going to a camp meeting. We're going, and eventually they just kind of roll their eyes and, but that's what I live for. It's not that anybody makes me. People ask sometimes, well, do you have to dress that way? Do you have to do? No, I don't have to. There's something the Lord's done in my heart and I want to give it to the Lord. He died for me and He paid an awful price for my salvation. How could I withhold a love that costs so dearly the offering of His soul? How can I hold back on those things and say, this is mine. This is my life. This is my time. These are my plans. I don't want to intrude on that. Oh Lord, I give it to You. The scripture said there in Malachi, He said, I've sent a curse to you. You remember in the book of Haggai as well, that they have left off for a number of years the rebuilding of the temple. And the Lord sent His prophet alone to say, it's time to get going. You're living in your own houses. You're supplying for your own needs. And there's a place for that. But He said, meanwhile, my house is vacant. Meanwhile, you're not tending to the things that need to be tended to. Oh, Lord, help us to have that balance. The things that I've got to take care of in my life. But first and foremost is the Lord and His service and the needs of my soul. Because that's what I'm living for. To live for the Lord. So they offered willingly what they had. They came and they gave it unto the Lord. And they rejoiced. Part of that famine. Or part of that curse. Read about it in Haggai there as well. The Lord said, you're doing this. And you're planting and I blow on it. And you get your riches and put it in a bag with holes in it. In other words, it's not really satisfying you. It's not really fulfilling the deepest needs of your heart. It's not there because I'm against you. The people here, as they gave themselves willingly, they rejoiced. And I want to tell you, when we give ourselves to the Lord, folks, there's not a bondage There's not a bondage of what I've had to give up. Well, let's turn. No, not yet. I want to finish another thought here. Let's look at the 11th verse of this same chapter. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Did you catch that? He wasn't saying, oh, Lord, I want you to take notice of everything I've sacrificed for you here. Lord, who am I to be worthy to give this unto you? Who am I? There's one place there in the Gospels that says, we have done that which is our duty to do. There's no glory in it. It's not a bondage. It's not a drudgery. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord loves it whenever we say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you today, Lord. I've got some decisions here to make, Lord. I'm going to live for you. The Lord loves it. And He has a way of so satisfying our hearts with the good things of God. But He said, Lord, these things are yours anyway. Lord, all these things came of your own hand. And isn't that the case with all of us? These things that the enemy would try to get us to feeling so possessive of, it's really the Lord's anyway. And the Lord has given them to us. In this time of plenty, there's a danger that we forget the one on whom we are so dependent. Because everything seems like it's right at my hands. If I don't have the money, I got the plastic. And it's right there for me. And the Lord's saying, don't forget me. Don't forget your dependence upon me. And lose sight of the Lord our God. That all these things are His. All these things, if I have the strength to do anything, it's the Lord's. Yes. I had our vehicle parked outside today when the hail came. You know, it's nice to be able to say, Lord, you see your van out there? Lord, if you want dimples in it, it's yours. Folks, it's the Lord's. We're to be the Lord's in our lives, in actuality, and not, the Lord gives us things as stewards of it. But His desire is that we turn it around and give it to the Lord. It doesn't mean I'm going to go just sell it all unless He calls for that. But I hold it loosely. Yes. And I say, Lord, this is yours. I don't want these things to bind me. I don't want these things to distract me whenever there's a need in your work. And I'm so tied down now that I can't go and be a blessing. That whenever there's a need in my own soul, I'm so busy I can't even tend unto it. Lord, help us to live for Him. Amen. Not to rob the Lord. We can rob the Lord by pride. He said, my glory will I not give to another. By exalting ourselves to a place that we think we can handle it. We can provide for ourselves. Our dependence has to be in the Lord and nowhere else. The context of what the Lord told them about being a jealous God was spiritual adultery. We can rob God of what rightly belongs to Him by giving our hearts and our affections to other things besides Him. These things can seem far removed in the Old Testament and idolatry and all of that. But there's something in it for us in our everyday lives. What is it that I've been living for? What is it that I've been giving myself unto? And there are indicators. It's not for me to come along and search you out, but there are indicators that I can look at in my own life. What have I been spending my time on? What has my passion been towards? Have I been more passionate about coming to the house of the Lord or about that hobby that I've taken up? There are indicators we can look at. Say, Lord, am I really living for you? Am I really living unto you or unto myself? Remember the account of the widow that Elijah went to see. And he said, make me a loaf of bread that I may eat. She said, my Lord, I have but this little bit left. You know, there's never enough. It'll seem like the devil will see to it. There's never a convenient time to read and pray, a convenient time maybe even to come to service. There's never such an abundance of money that I say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I can't find a use for it. Lord, do you have a need for it? That's not likely to be the way that it is. It may seem like a sacrifice. But whenever we realize everything that we have is the Lord's, it came from the Lord. You think about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. They had been servants for over 400 years. So it was not likely that they would have had a whole lot of their own possessions. But there in the building of the tabernacle, they had an abundance of things, of materials, even of great value that they brought. You know where they got it from? From the Lord. The Lord caused the Egyptian neighbors, I don't know how all he did it, but the Lord blessed and caused them to come and provide these things unto the Israelites. And out they went with that material. I've got this. But when the time came and the Lord said, here's the purpose for what I gave you. Yes. Are you willing to give it? They gave it to the Lord. Lord, help us to do that with our talents, with our gifts, with the things the Lord has given us, not to go hide it beneath things that are so trivial and meaningless in life, but to give it back unto the Lord. I'd like to turn back now in closing to the third chapter of Malachi. So the Lord brought this admonition unto them. But the way the Lord did it was to say, if you'll return unto me, I'll return unto you. I'll turn your curse into a blessing. I'll meet you. The Lord said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, the Lord gave him an invitation and a challenge. It's all as if the Lord was saying, I have so much I want to give you. I have so much I want to do for you. But I need you to give yourself to me. You've given yourself over to your own pursuits. You've gotten into a place where your love is cooled off for me. And you're still going through the motions. You're still bringing your sacrifices. But you're bringing the lame and the halt and the crippled and the things that aren't really a sacrifice to you at all. I want to do more for you. You know, the Lord has more of an abundance for every one of us. Let's prove the Lord. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. It didn't just say you'll get back what you gave. When we give to the Lord, when we live for the Lord, there is such an abundant return that we get. Folks, it is a worthwhile investment. This has the greatest return of any investment that we could ever make. Give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself completely to live for Him above ourselves. And the Lord said, prove me. Folks, He is just the same today. That widow that gave the very last that she had, she found that she never ran out. She found that she never had a need in that barrel that wasn't supplied. The Lord knows how to supply our needs. And many times our wants. And give us a peace and a blessing and a joy and a rejoicing. If our salvation tonight has gotten kind of dull, lackluster, it just seems like I'm going through the motions. It's a drudgery to me. You know the Lord has an invitation for us. Return unto me. Return unto your first love. Where you say, Lord, I give my, I'm living for you and you alone. Improve me and see what I'll do for you. See how I'll meet you. You pray for me.